tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed, powered by the SID Media. Pastor Mwale, good afternoon to you. Good morning to you, rather.
Good morning to you, too.
I hope you're well this morning.
I'm well this morning. How is the weather outside?
Yeah, well, weather is cool, actually. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's cloudy and a very beautiful day. And that side?
It's lukewarm. It's neither cold nor hot. It's just lukewarm.
Ah, all right. And this is exactly what we are talking about today. The weather is also definitely lukewarm this side. So we're looking at Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. And it's a verse from the New Testament that comes, from one of the letters to the seven churches. The verse specifically addresses the church in Laodicea. Now, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Now, this discussion will, provide a foundation for a thoughtful discussion about Revelation 3:16, exploring its meaning, implications for personal and communal faith, and also practical, applications in the lives of believers. Now, Pastor, in this verse, being lukewarm is associated with, with spitting someone out of the mouth. So what might this symbolism represent, and how does it connect to the overall message? And truly, I mean, lukewarm, really. I mean, we like lukewarm. The weather is lukewarm today, and I love it. And it seems that God is not impressed. Please talk to us about this lukewarm.
Thank you so much, and good morning again, listeners. First of all, I would love us to understand it in this aspect, that the last church of Revelation chapter 3, which is the Laodicean church, it covers a period from 161 AD. It begins from that time, 161 AD, to until the second coming of Christ. Now, I want us to understand that this name Laodicea, it's a mixture of two words. It simply means Laos. These are people, actually.
Yeah.
Laos, these are people. And Dicea, it's actually law. So these people are being judged.
Okay.
Or people that saw themselves as law-abiding people or who follow the law.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something that I want us to know, that it is these people are being associated with lukewarm. The symbol actually there is that these are being judged.
Okay.
Yes, they are being judged. They are people that are being judged. And when you look at the overall message in chapter 3, you find that Jesus tells himself to be the Amen, the faithful. He also calls himself the true witness.
Mm-hmm.
So because these people are being lukewarm, they are being judged because of what Jesus is being symbolized as a true witness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now I get you. I just want to get to the nick of it, because the verse contrasts being hot and cold, and of course the symbolism of being hot and cold in the context of faith and commitment. I need you to just help us with that, because I think it's perhaps if we can just try and understand the hot and cold in the context of faith and commitment.
Oh yeah. If you go to history, you find that Laodicea was a disposal of people who had behavior that was altered, neither cold nor hot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in other words, these people are not hot. Now, hot simply means, now if you read further in Greek, you find that this is zestos. Okay, The hotness there is zestos. Zestos is a fervent heat, like boiling water.
Okay.
Now, this simply means that their commitment to faith is not like hot water. It's actually not even there. It's not hot.
Okay.
Yes. Then there is what we call cold. Cold, it simply means they do not pay attention to divine things.
Mm.
In other words, they are not moved. No matter how much you bow them, they cannot be moved. They are neither zestos nor cold. They are neither hot. So when it comes to commitment, to a Christian commitment, you find that there is a slim or mild commitment. They are actually not committed at all.
No.
They are not committed to divine things. Yes.
Yeah. So does this suggest then that God would rather have one hot, which is very committed, or cold, which is not committed at all?
Yes. So the coldness, actually, we can actually interpret it as someone who has no knowledge of the true witness of Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay.
Who is the Amen? The Amen. Because when someone says Amen, they are agreeing to what Jesus has done on the cross. So it's better to have people who are cold, who do not know about the cross, than people who are neither hot. They have the divine things, but they don't even pay attention to those things. I wanted to explain it in this way, that it's like temperature. You know, there's a 0 degrees Celsius, and there's 100+ Celsius. Now, Christ is actually having difficulty in putting these people where they are. Okay? It is better he spews them out of his mouth. Now, in the Laodicean times, it was difficult to drink warm water because the stomach will have difficulty to absorb the water. This means that they will just spew the water out of their mouth. The stomach is not happy. It is not satisfied. Actually, Jesus is not satisfied to such commitment to faith.
Yeah.
Not happy at all.
Yeah. It's because it must be warm. It must be hot, as you are saying, because if it's lukewarm, then detestable to him?
Distasteable to him, it is not satisfactory. Actually, he will just judge these people.
Now, how might individuals assess their own spiritual temperature, you know, in light of the metaphorical language used in this scripture? So, because, you know, this scripture uses a language, it says hot nor cold, which means that one then who is a Christian may as well want to look at their own walk and say, okay, is this hot or is this cold? How do they then assess that in the context of Revelation 3:16?
Metamorphically, I love the language because it talks about lukewarmness, and lukewarmness has to do with temperature. And how do you assess this? Spiritually, you cannot assess this temperature on your own.
Okay.
But the good part is that we have Jesus Christ, who is the refiner. Jesus Christ says, I counsel you to buy from me gold tried in fire. Last week, we were looking at consuming fire. We said God is consuming fire, and his presence declares that there should be something that is boiling. So the only way is Jesus himself. People should be true to themselves, number one, because they are dealing with the true witness and the faithfulness. So in as much as they try to assess their own spiritual temperature, they must know that God refiner. They must know Jesus Christ, who is able to assess and tell to say, this is not refined.
Quite a difficult thing to do, I must assume.
Very difficult thing. But the good part is that we have the true witness, the one who is seeing what we are doing, the one who is overseeing, and this is Jesus Christ. He says, I buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness should not be revealed. This is constant relying or dependability on God as a refiner. And it's God alone who can do this.
Yeah, it's God alone indeed who can do it. Now, how might the message that we find in Revelation 3:16 be relevant to contemporary issues or challenges faced by individuals or, you know, Christians in communities today? I mean, you know, there's a lot of challenges that people face in the Christian faith. You know, these days we've got the challenges that we face of, for instance, the lack of Christian education in schools, for instance, it's not there anymore in many countries. That's one of the challenges. The challenges of homosexuality in the church. Those are some of the things that are having to be faced. Lots of divorces that are occurring in churches, etc. So how do we then get this message relevant, the Revelation 3:16, in light of the challenges? Because the challenges are real. The challenges, some of the challenges people unfortunately have to go through them out of no choice of theirs.
I love the question because it's actually dealing with contemporary issues, like you said, and these contemporary issues are worldwide issues. Now, you may need to understand that the people glorified in the outward evidence of their cultural attainment, the people of Laodicea, they loved expensive materials because they were rich. They thought themselves to be rich. They thought themselves not to be naked. Hence, spiritually, they were miserable. And they were poor and blind and naked. Now, to the contemporary Christian challenges, you will notice that we have built big churches, luxurious churches. These we have increased in goods. Automatically, we are wealthy people. We've got expensive pulpits in the churches, expensive pews. But these centers of learning and spiritual learning are lacking the essentials of Christian experience. Yes, people are lacking the essential Christian experience of which it could be true. Because Jesus says, I am the true witness. People are not true to themselves.
Yeah.
People are not true to God. People are not true to God. And these are issues that we need to talk more about them because they are increasing day by day. There is a homosexual, like you said. Jesus says, I am the first of the beginning of creation. People are running away from the first creation of a man and a woman. People are not true to this creation. The good part is that Jesus is saying, I counsel you to buy from me gold tried in fire. When God steps in where there's homosexual or where there's crime, things begin to change. Okay. When God steps in and puts and he adorns people with a new garment, he puts righteousness in them, and people will be doing the right thing in Christian communities, even today, as we speak about, people will do the right thing at the right time.
People will do the right thing at the right time. Would that be the influence of the Holy Spirit, or God will just in some way allow people to make their own choices?
Yeah, like you say, that's the influence of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you shall be witnesses. And it's like what I just talked about. I talked about Zestos. I said this is Zestos, boiling power, that when an individual is given this power, there will be an agent of change.
Now, I've got a question coming on the line from Derek. And if any one of you, by the way, those who are listening, have a question, please do send it to +27 734703527. +27 734703520. Would like to hear from you. Now, the question coming out on that same line, Pastor, is, if hot translates to fervency, doesn't fanaticism and extremism not usually present as very hot? How can we distinguish between extremism and commitment when we look at both? They're both hot.
Very good question. Very good question. And I would love to answer this question in this way, that Paul actually talks about the same fanaticism, extremism. He says, people having a form of godliness, you know, extreme godliness, okay, but they are denying the power thereof. And it's exactly what we are seeing today. There are a lot of churches in the world today. We should talk about in South Africa, I talk about in Zambia. There are a lot of churches, and people look to have an extreme of holiness or the boiling point. The hotness seems to be there, but actually they are not hot because they don't have the power that is driving the hotness, that is making the water to boil. And this is Jesus Christ. Actually, it says, I will give you the water of life and you will never thirst again.
Yeah, I hope that Derek, you, if you have a follow-up, please do send us that follow-up question. It is now 11 minutes before the hour 11 o'clock. Now, Pastor, Jesus calls for repentance in Revelation 3:19. What does this reveal about God's desire, you know, for reconciliation? Because on the one hand, he says, I'm going to spew you if you are neither hot nor cold. And then later on, he then, you know, calls for repentance. It seems as though, yes, he says, I hate this, so therefore you must do this. Doesn't really open up room for a power of choice, does it? Or what does it really reveal? Firstly, about his desire for reconciliation and renewed commitment. Number two, about a choice that he leaves upon us as human beings.
I again love this question because it's now dealing with God's desire. And you understand that I say this is a period from 161 AD to the coming of Jesus, the second coming of Jesus. And you will notice that from this point to the coming of Jesus, Jesus is the heavenly high priest.
Yeah.
He desires people to be reconciled to himself. That's the work of the high priest. He must plead with them.
Okay.
The desire is being, because Jesus is the high priest here. God's desire for reconciliation is because Jesus is the high priest.
Okay.
The Bible tells me that God is long-suffering towards us in 1 Peter, that he does not want any to perish, but all should come to repentance. The desire of God is that everyone should come to repentance, and he loves to rebuke people who are not in accordance with his truth, his faithfulness, and his amen. Coming to the last question you posed, and because Jesus is the high priest, he gives us the free will of choice. We must choose. During the time of atonement, Christ, when the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies, there was a period when people must choose where to belong. And this is actually what is happening right now. God has given us ample time, and we need to choose wisely this ample time. We must choose Jesus, the high priest. We must come boldly to his throne.
Yeah. You're saying we must because it's the right thing to do. This is it the only choice we have, you know. Because I really want us to, you know, get to this hot and cold and understand that, you know, it's a choice, and people have got to willingly choose God because it is the only way to life. And people may not want to choose and say, no, I still want to live my life, etc., etc. And that's the lukewarm part of it. And you said that cold is when one does not really know. And so... when people want to then still explore and live a life, and I hear this many times when people just want to enjoy life, especially from young people who are still, you know, wanting to, you know, inverted commas, explore life, etc. What's your advice in as far as the context of this verse is concerned?
Verse 15 says, I wish you were cold or hot. I am seeing that God is not resistant in no matter how cold someone is, no matter how hot, he desires, he wishes, even the young people. If the young people could adhere to the voice of Jesus calling through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, then God's wish could have been fulfilled that he should save them. It doesn't matter at what age they are. God's wish is to save. God is wishing this morning The empowerment I'm getting this morning is that God is wishing for us to be saved.
Yeah.
What good news can
yeah. Yeah.
Hey.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Now, he wants us to be saved. He wants us to be on the hot side. Now, what does a person on the hot side do in practical terms?
Practical terms, faithfulness, consistent faithfulness. The person must be faithful to what they have agreed upon with Jesus or with God. They must be true to him. You know, people are not true to themselves. If people cannot be true to themselves, how can they be true to God? People must be true to them. You know, Christians nowadays, we are actually becoming so cold that we are actually even in the political realm.
True.
Okay, we are agreeing with the political realm to say it's fine to be a political person. It's okay. That's the coldness that is there. But if we talk about the boiling point of divine things will tell you, go ye therefore and make disciples. Baptize them. Because you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You shall be witnesses. So the individual shall be a witness today, tomorrow, and yesterday.
Well, beautiful. I think I love that particular message and how it ends, because, you know, it tells us exactly the practicality of the beauty of commitment, the beauty of being on the hot side. I do want to thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through, talking to us about this particular phenomena, being hot or cold. And it's actually a beautiful metaphor because, you know, I'm now thinking, you know, about bathing with hot water and cold water, eating cold food or hot food, you know, having you know, cold weather or hot weather, etc. And so you can already see that the preference is on which side. And of course, it's no wonder why the writer makes this metaphor here. So yeah, I do want to thank you so much for coming through, and blessings to you indeed.
The pleasure was mine. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.